12:4. We'll get through part two of our gifts of the Spirit, and we'll talk about the ones we covered last week briefly, and then get into the ones for today. And I hope you take good notes on these, amen, because you need to know what your gifts are. And tonight we're going to take the survey, like I said before, Brother Larry, and everybody's going to walk out of here knowing what your gifts are after tonight. We're going to share some of them with each other tonight. When we take this tonight, it's not a test. There's no wrong answers, okay? It just shows you where your strong points are in the Lord, okay? If you would please stand in honor of God's Word, 1 Corinthians 12:10. We'll read one verse and then we'll be done. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as He will. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this day, God, and I thank You for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank You, Lord, that You give us gifts, Lord, that we don't have to go through this life and have no way of combating it. I just thank You that You give us the tools we need, Father. You give us the armor. You give us the gifts of God. You give us Yourself, Your Holy Spirit, Father. I just thank You for those gifts to help us get through this world we're traveling through and to get to the other side safely. Lord, I thank You so much for Your eternal salvation, Father. I thank You for saving my soul. I know others here that are born again. Thank You for saving theirs. Father, help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the spirit. I pray you bind the hands of demonic forces this morning. Help me to not say anything in this pulpit that's not pleasing to you. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we covered five of the gifts. We covered leadership. And if you need to review these, we have them in the back on disc. I have audio discs. You can listen to that sermon. Also, you can go online to our website and listen to these. But leadership was one. We talked about administration last week as being a gift of the Spirit. We talked about teaching last week as being a gift. We talked about knowledge. And then we ended in wisdom last week. And we also stated about the gifts that the signs of the apostles has ceased. Any gift that deals with an apostle that was assigned to Israel is no more relevant in the church age, okay? You need to understand that. You're not going to go around and raise somebody from the dead, Brother Larry. That's not possible. Why? Because those gifts have ceased, okay? Those are the apostolic signs to the church or to the Jew at that time. Now today we're going to cover prophecy. This is the one Miss Jan talked to me about last week. She was concerned about it. She goes, "Oh, I've got the gift of prophecy, Brother Jeff. What does that mean? That sounds so demonic." I said, "No, it's not demonic. Listen, the gift of prophecy is a gift of the Spirit, but you have to define prophecy correctly and biblically. We're going to do that this morning. So prophecy, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 12:10 and Romans 12:6. But the definition of prophecy is this. It's proclaiming the prophecy that's already been revealed in the Word of God boldly. It's proclaiming the prophecy that's already been revealed in the Word of God boldly. Prophecy is not adding to the Word of God. If you've got the gift of prophecy, that does not mean that God reveals some new things to you that you add to the Scripture, because the Bible forbids that. We find over in Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." We find over in Deuteronomy 18:20, it says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or they shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." Listen, do you know what the percentage is of a Bible prophet as to their accuracy? It's 100%.
That's right.
If you're not 100%, you did not get your revelation from the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Now, you might hit one every now and then, but if you ever miss one, you're not a prophet of the Lord.
That's right.
Period. You're not a prophet. You know, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "To exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Ephesians 3:8 says, "I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Listen, here's what prophecy is, and if you have this gift. If you have this gift, you probably enjoy going into prophecy. Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation, you like studying those books, you like hearing teaching and preaching on those books, and you like telling others about prophecy in Scripture. That is the gift of prophecy, okay? So let's get that clear. Now listen, the next one is discernment, and that's found over in 1 Corinthians 12:10, discernment. Listen, here's what the definition of discernment is. Discernment tests the message and actions of others for the protection and well-being of the body. Discernment tests the message and the actions of others for the protection and well-being of the body. We find in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers." Those that have the gift of discernment, Brother Larry, are very important to the church. And the reason they are, Brother Arp, is because, Brother Clemens, is this, that they guard the church. They see things. The pastor should have the gift of discernment. A pastor that does not have the gift of discernment is in trouble, amen? I firmly believe that that is a gift that God gives to pastors, but He does give it to other people as well. People in the church that have the gift of discernment can see trouble coming a mile away. Brother Lee, they'll come tell the pastor, "Brother Jeff, you need to watch out for this one. I see this. This is going on." And he gives them an alert, a red flag, amen, as to things that may hurt the church. They're there to guard the church, amen. Hebrews 5:14 says that we discern both good and evil. It is a supernatural inside the Lord to see when somebody is good and when somebody is evil. They might even be doing a good work, Brother Wayne, but somebody with the discernment of the Spirit of God that has that gift can see through the outward show, and they can see what the motives of the heart are, sis. They can do that, okay? Now 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God." They can tell when somebody's being led of the God, or whether they're being led of the Spirit, or whether they're being led of the flesh, or whether they're being led of devils. They can tell that. They can tell whether devil's behind it or whether the flesh is behind it. Listen, folks, people with the gift of discernment can tell when somebody's up here and they're putting on a show instead of singing for the Lord.
Right.
They can tell that, amen. They can tell when we've got a guest preacher or a guest missionary and they're up here and you can see there's something just not right. And it sends off signals to them, amen. Sister Vicky was telling me this morning, she went out to eat with a man get a cup of coffee with a man. They were talking about the Word of God. And she said, the Holy Spirit was just sending me red flags, red flags. And finally, she said, you know, everybody in this area says they're Christians, pretty much. She said, well, you know why that is? She said, no, why? He said, well, he said, preachers give too many altar calls. And she said, red flag. She said, no. She goes, I don't think that's the problem of people that preachers give too many altar calls. And then she found out that he was a Calvinist. Well, of course he believes the preacher gives too many altar calls because, hey, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. Nothing you can do about it, right? Why even have an altar call if you believe that way? But listen, that is discernment. That is discernment. Now listen, the next one is exhortation. Exhortation, and that one is found in Romans 12:8. And the definition of exhortation is it's to encourage members to be involved in and enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. Somebody with the gift of exhortation, they encourage members to be involved in church and in the things of the church and enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. In other words, they lift up the spirits of others. You want to be around people like this, amen? Usually these people, the exhorters in the church, people just like being around them. You like seeing them coming, amen? You like them coming because they lift you up and they exhort you and make you want to do something for Jesus, amen?
Right.
Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily. Listen, this helps other people serve the Lord. It keeps them from getting a hardened heart. You know why? We've got so many churches that are dying, Brother Larry, Brother Shane, they're dying on the vine. They're dead. They're cold. They're complaining. They're critical. They're sowers of discord. It's because there's not any exhorters in the church.
Yeah.
There's not exhorters to lift them up and to get them going. Amen. We need exhorters in the church. They keep you in the fight. Now listen, the next one is shepherding. Shepherding, and that's found in Ephesians 4:11. Now listen, the gift of shepherding is defined as this. It's manifested in persons who look out for the spiritual welfare of others. They look out for the spiritual welfare of others. Now listen, shepherding is what the pastor does. But shepherding is a gift that can go beyond the pastor. Understand that. There are people in the church that care about other people in the church. When they're sick, they send them a text or a call. When they're out, they send them a card. When they visit, they wanna send them a card. They want to reach out to them. They take them food. They do things like that. They care about people in the church. When they're in the hospital, you will see that person with this gift. You will see them coming forward and going to the hospital. Even when the pastor's there, there will be that person. Why? Because they care about the flock. John 10:12 says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. Listen, a pastor that's in it for the money won't get down the trenches with the folks.
That's right.
He won't. When things go south, he'll be gone. Amen. He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't love the sheep. And listen, a pastor that does not have the gift of shepherding is not called the pastor.
That's right.
It's called a pastor's heart many times. And if you don't have a pastor's heart, if you don't love your people, Brother Larry, if you don't care for them, you're not called the preach.
That's right.
You're not called the pastor. Amen. That's all there is to it. Period. Listen, 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Listen, folks, somebody that has the gift of shepherding loves to help the members in the church. If somebody falls into sin, Brother Shane, Brother Art, people with the gift of shepherding want to reach out to them and want to help them and want to lift them up and restore them and get them back to where they need to be, Sister Jessica, in the church. That's what these people do. Now listen, the next one is faith. Faith is the next gift. 1 Corinthians 12:9. Now listen, all of us have a measure of faith. God gives us faith. But there's just some people, Brother David, that have the gift of faith. They've got more faith than anybody around them. Amen. If anything, everything can go south around them. And Brother Harold, they're saying, it's going to be all right. God's in control.
That's right.
They've got a gift. Amen. Now listen, here's the definition of faith. It trusts God to work beyond the human capabilities of the people. It trusts God to work beyond the human capabilities of the people. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, somebody with the gift of faith, they're always saying the Lord's in control. Not worried about it. God will take care of it. Amen? And some people go, man, I wish I had faith like that. Now listen, you understand, some people have the gift of faith and some do not. Now we all have faith. God gives us faith because it takes faith to be born again, okay? God gives us the faith to be born again. But some people have that extra supernatural gift of faith, amen? It's a gift of the Spirit, amen? They never let down their shield. Now here's where it comes in, Ephesians 6:16, above all taking the shield of faith. We all have faith, but some have the gift, right? You know what those with the gift do? They jump in front of those without the gift with their shield. And they're there for them, Brother Larry. But they've got that shield, and they're going bam, bam, and they're deflecting those darts. And when you're down and your faith is getting, guess who's going to be at your door, knocking on your door, trying to lift you up with their shield of faith? It's that person that has the gift saying, it's going to be okay. God's in control. God's already told me this is going to be taken care of. Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Listen, folks. They help the church keep going with the faith. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, the next one is evangelism. Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11, evangelism. Now God gets His church with evangelists to lead others to Christ, okay? But now this gift, get this gift builds up the body by adding new members. New members into its fellowship. The gift of evangelism. The gift of evangelism, these people bring in people from outside. They have a gift to share their faith with others. I mean, everywhere they go, they sit down next to them. And all of us are supposed to witness. But these people have an extra gift in witnessing. They're tract distributing machines. They're witnessing machines. Amen. People with that gift of evangelism, they're always wanting to reach somebody else for Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 9:29 says, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 14:3 says, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Acts 18:26 says, they spoke boldly in the synagogue. Listen, these people are bold. They're bold as lions. But let me say this. These people also are sometimes shunned by other members. They are. Because other members, it says in 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Other members sometimes don't like to go out to eat with them because they're sharing the gospel with somebody at the table. Or they're leading a track. Or they're doing something else and they're kind of ashamed of the gospel. So other members shun them.
That's right.
They shun these people because they're not called with this evangelistic gift. And they are. And they say, I don't want to be around them because all they do is talk about Jesus. Listen, we don't need to shun those that have the gift of evangelism.
That's good.
We need to embrace them because you know what they do? They make us bolder, Brother Roger.
That's right.
What you need to do is, if you're shy about sharing your faith and you may not have the gift of evangelism, you need to hook up with somebody that does have the gift of evangelism, and they'll push you along, amen?
Yeah, that's good.
They'll get you going, amen? Now listen, the next gift is apostleship. Got to be careful here and understand. Remember, the gifts or the signs of the apostle are no more in effect. So we need to define this. Apostleship is 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11. What we're talking about are the works of the apostles and what they were doing. What they were doing. Apostleship. So let's talk about this. This is the definition. The church sends out from the body to plant churches or be missionaries. Apostleship. They have this gift. They motivate the body to look beyond its walls. They motivate the body to look beyond its walls in order to carry out the Great Commission. In other words, the ones with the gift of apostleship have the gift of outreach, Brother Larry. We would use the terminology outreach today, all right? That's who this person is. Luke 14:23 says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Listen, these are the people that want to be at every VBS event. They want to be at everything that goes on at the church, amen? They want to be at youth events. They want to be at senior events. Every outreach event at the church, you're going to see these people volunteering and wanting to be part of it. Why? Because they have a desire to outreach and go beyond our borders here at the church and reach to others. These people also have a heart for missionaries. People with this gift, they want to give to missions. They want to give above and beyond their tithes and help missions. They want to go out and reach missions. They want to help Brother Lenny with his store over Mexico. People like that have this gift, okay? The gift of apostleship, reaching beyond our walls. Now listen, the next one is service and helps. Service and helps. And this is found in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Romans 12:27. Now here's the definition of this one. They recognize the practical needs in the body. They recognize the practical needs in the body and joyfully now, give assistance to meeting those needs. These are the people that work behind the scenes. These are the people that maybe empty the trash can or take the trash out to the road or mow the yard or do things that they need no need done in the church, that do take care of things around the church that don't need the glory, but they do them anyway because they know that the church needs it done.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what service and helps are. Matthew 6:2 says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have their glory of men." These people that really have this gift, and you know the ones that do and the ones that don't. The ones that have the gift don't need the pat on the back. They could care less. They're just wanting to do it for Jesus.
That's right.
They're wanting to do it for Jesus, and they don't care if anybody in the church comes out and pats them on the back. The ones without the gift come in and say, "Did you see what I did? Did you get that?" Hey, and if they don't get the pat on the back, they pout. And they go home, and you miss them for 2 weeks, and the pastor goes to them, and they go, "I did that, and nobody told me thank you." Right? Then you don't have that gift. Amen?
Right.
Don't use that gift if you don't have it. Amen? Somebody that has that gift just likes doing for the Lord and don't need the applause.
Right.
Amen? They don't need it. Amen? Now listen, the next one is mercy. And that's found in Romans 12:8. And anybody that's ever been associated with a Baptist church knows that this is not a gift that every Baptist member has. Amen and amen. Listen, here's the definition of mercy. It's tearful acts of compassion characterized with those with the gift of mercy. It's tearful acts of compassion. I mean, they aid the body by empathizing and hurting members. They help them. Listen, for the body to stay healthy and unified, it must have the gift of mercy.
That's right.
We've got to. Listen, people with the gift of mercy, easier to forgive. Something goes wrong or somebody does something wrong in the church, they're the ones that comes to the preacher and comes to the deacons and say, "Hey, you know what, let's sit down with them. Let's forgive them.
That's right.
Let's bring them back in the fold. Let's give them a second chance. You know, I know they messed up, but you know, that's where the gift of mercy comes in." Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
It comes in with those things. Jude 1:22 says, "And some have compassion, making a difference." Listen, folks. People in the church with the gift of mercy, they make a difference. A church without the gift of mercy is a doomed church. We're going downhill quick, Brother Clemens. Brother Grant, we're going downhill quick if we don't have the gift of mercy. 1 John 3:17, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Listen, that's why we have a benevolence program at this church. Why? Because we need to show others that we have mercy. Amen? We need to show others that we can, that we will help them when the time comes and they're in need. It says in 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren." I mean, these people reflect the church that cares. Listen, folks, I hope that when people come in Valley View Baptist Church, they realize that we are a church that truly cares. Now, we don't keep up deadbeats. Amen? And God does not proclaim, let me just state that, God does not say in His Word that if somebody's addicted to drugs and addicted to alcohol, that it's the church's job to keep them fed and keep them up and keep them to where they don't have to work a job so they can keep doing their drugs and their alcohol. That's not what the church is called to do. Amen? That's why we research. But I want to tell you something. If somebody's lost their job and they're handicapped and their children need food, this church is going to help them. Amen?
That's right.
If somebody has a legitimate need and it's not because they're in sin, this church is going to help them.
That's right.
Amen? Why? Because we have a church, I believe, that's built on mercy. Amen? On mercy. Now listen, the next gift of the Spirit is giving. Giving. It's found in Romans 12:8. "He that giveth." The definition of giving is this: it's members with the gift of giving give freely, and get this, freely and joyfully to the work and mission of the body. They give freely and joyfully to the work and mission of the body. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him so give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Listen, a person that gives, they give of their tithes, and they love putting in their tithe check. You say, "That sounds crazy, Brother Jeff." I'm telling you, when the plate passes around, Brother Art, they can't wait to write out their check and drop it in. They're excited.
Yeah.
In fact, they look at other ministries in the church and they go, "I can't wait to give to the parking lot fund. I can't wait to give to Lenny's store. I can't wait to give to this. I can't wait to give to the missionaries. Hey, give me something to give to." Right? Now, I want to tell you something. You're going to say, "Brother Jeff, this breaks every law of economics." But I'm going to tell you, the Bible breaks every law of economics.
It does.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I have yet to meet a poor giver.
Right.
It's good, man.
I have yet to meet a poor giver, Brother Art. Somebody that gives and gives and gives. It just seems like they're always getting, getting, getting. You know why? Because God says you're going to reap what you sow. Amen? And that doesn't just apply to sin. Amen? It applies also to giving liberally to the things of God. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You water your money and help other people, it's coming back to you. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. I'm not saying everybody's going to be rich, amen?
That's right.
But I want to tell you something. God, in His Word, says if you are given the gift of giving, then God's going to make it available for you to expound on that gift.
Yeah.
God does not give you a gift and not give you the means to fulfill your gift. He does that, amen? Proverbs 22:9 says, he that hath a bountiful life shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Listen, folks, don't interfere with somebody that has the gift of giving. God's going to take care of them. You know, in our minds, if you don't have the gift of giving, you look over at them and you go, that is foolish. That is foolish. Do you not know you should be putting that in an IRA? Do you not know you should be giving this here? Do you not know you... I mean, look at where you're blowing your money. Don't do that to somebody that has the gift of giving. Because listen, if they stop giving, they're going to hit rock bottom. Don't do it, amen? Now listen... The next one is hospitality. Brother Larry, you can get a song ready. This is the last one. Hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 is where that's found. Now here's the gift of hospitality. Those with this gift have the ability to make visitors, guests, and strangers feel at ease. They have the ability to make visitors, guests, and strangers feel at ease. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. 1 Timothy 3:2, talking about the qualifications for a bishop, it says, given to hospitality. Titus 1:8 says, but a lover of hospitality. Listen, folks, we got too many people in the church today that they love discord, they love complaint, they love problems, but they don't love hospitality. Listen, I truly believe God has really given us an extra abundance of people in our church that have the gift of hospitality. Because it's evident. When somebody comes in our church, if they hate the preaching, they hate the singing, hate everything else about the church, they're at least going to leave it here saying, man, that preacher's an idiot, but man, those are friendly people, amen? They are. You can't walk out of this church and say, nobody shook my hand. Nobody hugged my neck, amen? You're not going to walk in Valley View and walk out of here. If you do, you're a liar, amen? Because you're going to get your hand shaken and you're going to get hugged to death. Now, you might be not a touchy-feely person and that's not for you, then this church ain't for you, amen? But listen, that's the gift of hospitality. The gift of hospitality. Now listen, tonight we're going to take the survey, and we're going to find out which of these gifts you have as an individual, and we can even talk about what gifts we think about as our church. I want to open up the floor and get your opinion. What do you think our gifts are as a church tonight after we take the survey? Because our church is a whole church body. There's some gifts that we have that are on a different level than other gifts, okay, as a whole church body. So we'll talk about that tonight. But this morning, I want to ask you this. We've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, but have you got the most important gift? See, the most important gift was given by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you don't have that gift, you might as well give it up. See, there's a lot of church members, Brother Shane, and they're church members. Brother Arthur, on the pew. Brother Roddy, they're on the pew. Brother Cockwith, they're on the pew. And they're trying to have a bunch of gifts, but they've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. They've never received Jesus Christ. And that's why you see more hatred and anger and bitterness and just causing problems left and right for all the members of the churches, because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Amen.
They're a wolf. They're a tad. But listen, if God's revealed that to you today, that you don't have the gifts and you need the gift of God, start tonight. Start today.
Amen.
You know what? God will save your soul. God will impose on you gifts. He'll give you gifts. And you'll be on your way to heaven and not on your way to hell. Amen.
Amen.
With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing, if you're able. I'm not going to say anything else. If you need to move, just come on down. Whatever your need is, Brother Larry, one verse. If nobody moves, we're done.